Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Here. You know, sometimes I forget to wash. For weeks at a time, my body takes on an earthy, musky smell like loamy tuft soil. I'm mighty proud of my stink, because it's a man-sized stink. Can you smell me through your radio? If so, I'm sorry, but I can smell you, so we're even. Speaking of smells, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the show. I apologize for my friend Todd Wilkerson. That's just the way he is. And we need to just love on him. Hey, today, in a couple of minutes, we have our friend Brandon Strock. It's spelled Straka, but some of you know him. He's a fascinating figure. He was very liberal, tremendously liberal. He still is, I believe, self-identifying as gay. But he somehow realized that Trump is not that bad. And then he realized, wait a minute, Trump is for everything that I believe in. And he started a movement. It's called the Walk Away Campaign. He is really just an amazingly brave figure. So we had him on some months ago. We're going to have him on in a couple of minutes to kind of give us an update on what he's doing. But this dude is a hero. In hour two, we have our old friend, Michael Brown, Dr. Michael Brown, whom I love. He has a new a book out. Albin, you had a letter you wanted to read. We always get these letters. We need to read more of these letters because some of them are so sweet. They encourage me like crazy.
But by the way, Brandon Strock went undercover at that Chaz community thing in Seattle. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that. Oh, that's something else. So we get great letters. I got to tell you, we're getting a lot of really good letters. This is from a woman named Rebecca. I'm just going to use her first name, in Leavenworth, Kansas. She just nailed it in a couple sentences. I love this. We got this a couple days ago. God has put you where you are for such a time as this. Please keep speaking truth, but watch your back.
Well, what a kind thing to say. And you know, the watch your back thing, that's a good opportunity, actually, since you mentioned it, for me to ask folks to pray, because you know that if you start saying certain things, there are people that are going to come after you. We've seen this with just the other day, Tucker Carlson was accused. Well, first of all, the New York Times was going to publish an article on where he lives. The last time somebody said where he lives, he had woke mobs threatening his wife. It was a very scary thing in America. So he moved. He had to move. And now the New York Times, which, as we know, is effectively dead. It's why I canceled my subscription. But that they were going to do this, that is truly despicable. So people want to come after you. Now, I'm nowhere near the level of any of these folks that I'm talking about. Certainly not Tucker Carlson. But the fact of the matter is that people will come after you. There's some sexual harassment thing against Tucker. I know the woman he's talking about, and it just sounds like craziness. I have to tell you, I certainly wouldn't believe that he's capable of that. But you're going to be dragged through the mud nonetheless. Even if you are, you know, people say, well, where do I go to get my reputation back after somebody has dragged my name through the mud? So that's the kind of thing that goes on. But I think that we shouldn't fear speaking the truth. I think we're commanded to speak the truth as best we can in love. And so I ask you, my listeners, to if you're people of faith, please pray for me and my family, because this is a battle. When we posted that video, my interview with Bevelyn Beatty, what was that, Monday or Tuesday? I can't remember when we did that.
That was Monday.
It was Monday. Okay. I mean, that has gone viral. We have basically 40,000 views on that. And we just posted it. I mean, it's like, it's a new video, right? We posted it, I don't know, 24 hours ago or whatever, 20, 30 hours ago. And it is 40,000 views. Now, this is an amazingly outspoken woman. And for giving a platform to someone like that, I could get canceled. So I want to ask you again to help us as you're able. First of all, do pray for us. I don't say that lightly. Also, please share our videos and our audio podcast with anyone you know as you're able to do. Please encourage your friends to sign up for our newsletter because that's a way that we're able to share stuff that we can't share on the program. And you're likely to miss it. If you miss one 15 minutes on the program, you may miss something vital. So please do share, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us get the word out and share these things on your own social media. I'm now on Parler and on Gab. I don't know if you've even heard of them, but they are alternatives to Twitter. So that's important. And Albin, we're getting some huge, oh, Chris,
yes.
And Albin, I see you both. We are getting huge guests. Tomorrow, unless something goes wrong, I'm going to talk to Roger Stone. I can't believe I'm going to talk to Roger Stone. We know that he has become a serious Christian. I don't mean he sort of became a Christian. When you hear the story, you're going to find out, no, this is real. So I'm going to talk to him hopefully tomorrow. And on TBN this weekend, this is this Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern time, TBN is airing my conversation with Ted Cruz and Michael Knowles. They've got a new podcast. Folks, please don't miss it. It's going to be on TBN this weekend, 6 p.m. on Friday Eastern and 10 p.m. on Sunday Eastern. And of course, you know how to record these things. And I've got a special personal message at the end of my conversation with them. On Monday, we've got Miracle Monday. You're not going to believe this one. David Wood. Some of you know who he is. I put some stuff of his on Twitter. His story is one of these stories, again, you think, how is this even possible? I mean, it is one of these super crazy stories. Wait till you hear from him. Yeah. You're barely going to believe it. And I think we have to talk about Mike Lindell, just because he's right here in the room with me. It makes me uncomfortable. He just stands here. If you're watching this on video, you can see that he's not moving. He has a huge head. He looks almost like a bobblehead. Wait a minute. It is a bobblehead doll of Mike Lindell. He's nodding. He's saying, yes, I'm a bobblehead. Evidently, if you go to MyPillow.com, you can get a bobblehead of Mike Lindell. This one is signed, okay? Mike Lindell, with his little own hand, he signed it. Can you imagine? And it says on the bottom, it says, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. It actually says that here, folks. So if you want to own a bobblehead to put, you know, next to your pillow. But actually, in all seriousness, they're doing a special deal now. We should mention this, guys. They're doing a special deal with the mattress topper. If you put in our code Eric, you get 30% off the mattress topper. That is the one product of all of his products. They're all great, but this is the one that actually has affected my life. I sleep so well, I'm missing appointments. My wife has walked out on me. All I do is sleep. It is so effective. So use it very carefully. But I just want to say that you get 30% off if you use Eric. And this is, to me, an even bigger deal. You get two free standard My Pillows. So 30% off if you use Eric and two free standard My Pillows and the mattress topper. Trust me, whether you're paying full price and getting no pillows, it is, at least for me, it's just been, it's been life-changing. I didn't think that
either way,
changed the way I sleep.
I love the bobblehead as well.
Is that helping you sleep?
Well, when I wake up, it helps me to get going. I even have a bobblehead of myself, but that's,
you know what? That's really creepy. Do you put on like secret puppet plays under the Giza sheets that you got from Mike Lindell at night?
Yeah,
and does your wife threaten to walk out on you if you don't cut that out?
Well, my wife does not understand bobbleheads, but I do.
You do? Alvin, you know something? I shouldn't say this on the air, but you need to stop. No, seriously, I shouldn't say this on the air, but when I can't sleep, I coo and bill with my bobblehead of Mike Lindell, and I nod right off. It's magical. We'll be back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show with Brandon Strock. Don't go away.
I can read the writing on the wall.
Folks, welcome back. As promised, Brandon Strock. You may pronounce it Strocka because it's spelled that way, but that's wrong. It's Brandon Strock. He's the founder of the Walk Away Movement. Brandon, it is so good to have you back. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be back.
Well, look, tell us, first of all, if people want to find you online, what's the name of the website?
Well, if they want to check out Walk Away Campaign, they should go to walkawaycampaign.com. We have a bunch of amazing things coming up, too, so they can check out our upcoming events and find out a little bit more about the movement. I highly suggest people go to Facebook and join our group, because that's where they'll find all those incredible testimonials of hundreds of thousands of people who are walking away. And if they want to check me out on social media, it's at Brandon Strock. And like you said, my last name is spelled S-T-R-A-K-A. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, etc.
Okay. Well, listen, you've been really heroic in the last few years. For my audience that is not familiar with you or didn't hear you the last time you were on the program, give us a short retelling of where you were and what happened in your life that you got to this point of being pro-Trump when you were rather dramatically anti-Trump.
Right. I actually voted for Hillary in 2016, if you can believe it. I was a lifelong liberal and Democrat voter as an adult. And then in 2016, I voted for Hillary Clinton. And for me, my big sort of epiphany and aha moment was the realization that the media that I trusted so much my entire life was so dishonest and duplicitous and manipulative. And because I kind of went on a quest to understand two things. How did the media get it so wrong? Because they said Trump had like less than a 3% chance of winning. And two, why would anyone ever vote for somebody as terrible as Donald Trump, as terrible as the media keeps saying that he is? And so by sort of researching those two questions, what I ultimately found out was that Donald Trump was not as terrible as the media says that he is, but the media is as terrible as the media says Donald Trump is. And so long story short, I ended up walking away from all of it. Liberalism, the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton. And it didn't happen overnight, but over the course of a full, 2017, by the end of 2017, I became a Trump supporter and a Republican.
Well, it's a dramatic story, and you've told it elsewhere. So what is happening right now? What are you doing with your time? What are you seeing out there?
Well, the shutdown has been really difficult, I think, for everybody. And for a little while there, my team and I were kind of like, what do we do now? Because, we had so many events planned for 2020. We really wanted to be on the ground, out there, waking people up. And a lot of that got shaken up by the shutdown. So where we are right now is I got very tired of watching, since the end of May, radical leftists going out, smashing windows, looting, burning, beating people, killing people, and causing so much damage and destruction to our country. I finally, for a while there, I was just watching every night on the news going, is anybody going to do anything about this? And, I am a Republican now, and I do love Republicanism, but I'm becoming increasingly, I think, disenchanted with our leadership, as I think a lot of people are. So I decided to kind of take the matter into my own hands. And so Walk Away is launching this weekend what we're calling Rescue America rallies around the country. We're quite literally going to go anywhere and everywhere we can. We're starting in Baltimore this Saturday. Then we're heading to Sacramento, Los Angeles, Miami. We'll get to Atlanta. We're going to go to all the swing states, literally just travel around the country. And what I'm trying to do here is two things. raise awareness about the walkaway movement, encouraging people to leave the radical left, and that they do have a choice. You don't have to stay. You don't have to, you know, if the party, many people say the party left me. Great. Well, if the party left you, then get out of there. It's time to go. You don't have to stay. There's a movement now that you can join. And the second thing, and this is perhaps most the most important, is I'm trying to embolden and encourage conservatives to step up and be courageous. And, you know, because so many conservatives say, well, you know, we don't really do activism. We don't really go out there and fight. We vote. It's no longer good enough. It's no longer good enough to just go in the voting booth and vote and think that you've done your part. This is how the radical left has taken over every aspect of America. This is why the radical left is allowed to go out and burn people's businesses to the ground and their buildings and smash things and with total impunity, because nobody pushes back. Nobody does anything. So I'm trying to build an army from coast to coast of people who are going to fight back with love, civility, kindness, unity. We're going to take our country back from the radical left with Walkaway Rescue America rallies.
I love hearing you talk, Brandon, because, you know, you are a voice for so many out there that there's a shyness, there's a diffidence about being bold. And you know, and I know, that in America, if we want self-government, we must speak up, we must fight. It's not enough just to vote, although there are plenty of people that don't even vote. But the point is, we've got to speak our minds. That's what it means to live in a free society. We have an obligation.
Absolutely. And this is also how it affects us every day in our culture. You know, if you were in a group of people and one person just started shouting, you're a racist, everybody would stop what they were doing. And the people on the left are immediately activated to find out what's going on, who committed an act of racism, how can I get involved? Now, on the flip side with conservatives, if you're in a group of people and a Trump supporter is being maligned or abused or whatever, nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. Nobody feels activated in any way, shape, or form. Now, this is just a small example, but what I'm illustrating here is the culture that has allowed this to happen. Leftists know that no one is going to fight them back. No one's going to push back on them, so they can say anything, they can do anything, they can destroy anything, and no one's going to do a thing. We have to change that narrative. We have to make them afraid to act on what they believe. We have to show them that if they're going to go and try to start ripping statues down or ruining people's careers or getting people fired or whatever, that there's going to be hell to pay for it. That's what we need to do. And that's going to be the quickest way to shut them down. And so step one in this is I want to be part of emboldening conservatives to simply show up. And this is really tricky. You'd think it isn't, but it is. I've done numerous events for the last 2 years. And when I do these events, you know, let's say 450, 500 people sign up, and then about 150 people come. And then I'm inundated for days with emails from people saying, I got scared. What if Antifa came? What if Black Lives Matter came? Well, what if they do? What if they do? That doesn't mean you stay home. You have to show up and fight for your country and fight for freedom. So I'm trying to make people a little bit braver.
I have to say, forgive the noise in the background, but honestly, it is, again, such a joy to hear you speak, because this is the point. Americans have gotten so soft that they don't understand that sometimes you do have to fight, or you have to at least be willing to fight. If you saw somebody being murdered or raped, you wouldn't step up. You wouldn't say, oh yeah, I'm going to risk something, but I must. I have no choice. What kind of a human being would stand by? That's what we have today. We have a lot of Americans that think they can stand by and do nothing. And the price of freedom means we have to be involved. So it just thrills me that you're making this clear. And say more about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, and this is something that's, you know, when I was doing live speaking back when we were allowed to go out and travel and speak to groups, this is a little exercise in a way that I would sort of run through with a lot of people. I would say, you know, close your eyes. Now, imagine that it's November 4th, 2020, the day after Election Day. You wake up, Joe Biden is your president. The Democrats have taken over the House. They've taken over the Senate, or they've taken the Senate. They've gained in the House. You are living under a completely leftist-controlled government now. You're going to start losing your Second Amendment rights. You've already begun to lose your First Amendment rights. You are going to, they're going to feel complete and total impunity to label you a racist, a Nazi, to damage your career, to damage your property, to do anything that they want to do. Now, ask yourself, what would you give to be able to turn back time and do something that would have stopped this from happening? Anything to prevent this reality that you're now living in. And this is not a completely impossible situation. We don't know for sure that Republicans will be triumphant in 2020. One never knows this. So the point is, sit in that fear just a little bit. Sit in that discomfort and, you know, in your mind. And then ask yourself, am I willing today, tomorrow, and every day until election day to do something to make sure that that does not become my reality? And there are things that you can do. Go out and register new voters. We're going to be doing that at Walkaway Rescue America rallies. Call friends, call neighbors, write letters, talk to people, come and join our rallies, join our movement. I mean, it's people think, oh, well, I'm just, you know, this little guy from Iowa, Kansas. What am I going to do? If you can change the minds or opinions of three people, four people, five people, if everyone can do that, that's huge. We're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of new voters that'll tip the scales in November. Everybody must do their part. You can't do this silent majority crap anymore and then just be like, well, you know, I did my part. I went in and voted. And why is the country going to hell? I don't understand.
We're going to go to break, but it's just a joy to hear you say these things. Very, very important stuff, folks. We'll be right back with Brandon Strzok. President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We'll be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer, and he wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Metaxas to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's Metaxas to 88022 to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be a special guest paid for by Donald J. Trump for President. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Brandon Strzok, spelled Straka, pronounced Strzok. He's with walkawaycampaign.org. Brandon, you went to Chaz Chop, Chaz Bono, what do they call it? Chazistan. You went there undercover. Tell us about that.
Sure. I went into the Chaz district of Seattle. Actually, dressed as a Black Lives Matter activist. I went with several members of my team and kind of a covert camera crew. And basically what we wanted to do was, the reason why I chose to go in kind of undercover is because I wanted to sort of have disarming conversations with people to just get a really accurate, true feel for the mindset of the people inside and, you know, what their intentions were, what their goals were, and what it was really all about. I didn't want to go in, you know, with the intention of just trolling them or trying to get a reaction. I really wanted to find out, you know, where their heads were at. And so I can tell you that I talked to a lot of people, and some of them were very, very nice, very good people who have really good intentions, although I think incredibly misguided. One thing that really struck me was for the people who were very good-natured and I think came from a good place, was they sort of had this mentality that was very similar to the hippie movement of the 1960s. And what was sort of funny about it was they didn't seem to realize that this has all been done before. You know, when I was talking to them, a lot of them were like, yeah, man, you know, we just sort of have, we want to like build this community where like I take care of you and you take care of me and we don't really worry about having police and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, the hippie movement, this has been done before. We've seen this movie. But then there was other things going on in there that was a lot more troubling, disturbing, I think, than that. And I'll say, so here's one instance. What I noticed was for all of the people in Chaz who were Black, they were treated with a certain level of superiority and sensitivity Anytime there was one black man who was walking around and he was, you know, breaking things and kind of damaging things and yelling at people. And when he would do this, all of the white people around him were very sort of subservient and sort of like, don't upset him. Don't upset him. You know, are you okay? Are you okay? And then there was an incident shortly after that. There's a large sort of baseball playing field, and a naked white man walked onto the field, which upset a lot of black people who were on the field. And they demanded that he be removed and literally started shouting, security, security. And all of these white people came running to the field to remove the naked white man. And they were clearly very, very, very concerned with how the black people felt about this. And it was just so striking if you were there to see that they're really building this culture of black supremacy, one, and two, sort of pandering to and in almost infantilizing black people and their feelings and their emotions. And it's a very, very bizarre culture that was being built inside of there.
Infantilizing black people is called racism, right? That's what people did, Southerners did. When you treat blacks like they can't really take care of themselves, so we need to treat them differently. That's racism. That's not the dream of Dr. King. That's not the dream of anybody with a biblical sense of the wrongness of racism. And speaking of which, the kind of hippy dippy, you know, we all want to take care of ourselves and stuff. They don't deal with the biblical idea of what we call original sin. We're broken. If we could live like that, it'd be wonderful. But there are people that are going to take advantage. If there's no cops or whatever, there are people going to take advantage. That's the only reason we need government. And that's the why government was instituted, because if everyone could live perfectly, we wouldn't do that. So it's kind of funny that they want to sort of leap to utopia as though the history of humanity has never understood, oh, it's just so simple. Let's just get rid of all weapons or all government. It's very naive and historically tremendously ignorant. It's kind of sad, and we have to talk about it so that everybody can kind of begin to understand where this is coming from.
Well, I think the evidence of how broken that type of thinking is demonstrated clearly in the fact that, you know, it took less than 1 week of an autonomous zone with no police in Seattle before people started getting murdered. I mean, people were killed inside of Chaz in less than 7 days. I live in New York City, where my genius mayor decided to defund the police 1/5 of their annual budget, over $1 billion. And we are seeing murders and shootings skyrocket. The rates right now, I think, are more than 60% higher right now than it was a year ago at this time. Meanwhile, we're painting Black Lives Matter down all of the streets of New York City. This group that has, by their own admission, is stemming in Marxist ideology, has very little to do with any concern for Black lives whatsoever, and more to do with communism, socialism, anarchy, things like this. And it's very demoralizing, I think, to know that leadership is embracing radicalized groups and radical principles while making people less safe by defunding the police. And, you know, one of these people that was just murdered in New York City in the last couple of weeks was a 14-year-old boy, black boy, who somebody walked right up to him, shot him in the head, and they interviewed one of his neighbors on the news, a black woman, who said, the police don't come into our neighborhood. They won't come in here now. Well, yeah, when police don't come into neighborhoods, you're going to be a hell of a lot less safe.
We're going to go to another break. We'll be right back with Brandon Strzok. Folks, I'm back with Brandon Strzok. I don't want to forget, the website is walkawaycampaign.com, Marxist.com. Brandon, a lot to talk about. First of all, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. Not only don't they care about blacks, because they're mostly a white organization, they actually are harming blacks. We had on this program very recently, Bevelyn Beatty, who painted over, a black woman who is fed up with Black Lives Matter and the phoniness, and she was painting over these so-called murals in New York. She was arrested. That woman is a hero, and frankly, she reminds me of you, because there are very few people willing to step up, stick out their necks, and you're an inspiration to everyone else to participate along the lines of what you're doing. I'm just thrilled that you're aware of these things and that you're speaking out on these things. We need more of you, and I really do think that you are encouraging a lot of people to step up.
Thanks, Eric. as I said, I live in New York City as well. And, it's hard to explain, but there are times in life, and I know you're a very religious guy, so you'll probably identify with this on another level, but there are times in life when you're very aware that you have been placed exactly where you're supposed to be, exactly the right moment. And when you have that feeling, that certainty, you lose a lot of fear. And I can tell you that in the past, years ago, if I had gone to, a political rally of my opponents, I don't think I ever would have had the courage to stand up to a group of people as an individual. And now it's quite literally become a common occurrence for me. You were referring to the young lady who countered Black Lives Matter by painting over top of them. Well, just a couple weeks ago, on July 4th, I was at that same location. I got some intel that there was what do they call themselves? Anti-fascism. One of those ironically titled groups that hate America, hate Trump, and they were throwing a rally in New York City. So I went to the rally to kind of obtain some footage and do some interviews and stuff. And then they ultimately marched over to Trump Tower, which is exactly where that incident took place with the painting with the girl. And but at the very end of the rally, there was a group of people there in front of Trump Tower. And I just went up to one of the leaders of the organization. And I said, hey, I was wearing my Black Lives Matter shirt. And I said, hey, I really love what you guys are doing. Would you allow me to say a few words on the microphone? And she said, yeah, absolutely. So she jumps on the mic and says, one of our supporters would like to say a few words. People can watch this. I uploaded it to YouTube, Twitter, everything. So I got on the microphone and I said, thank you so much for, giving me the mic. And I just wanted to say, I defend the police in New York City. Let's support our police officers. Let's vote Trump, whatever. It caused total anarchy. I mean, everyone was screaming, pushing, throwing things at me, whatever. But it totally broke down the rally. I mean, it literally everyone just completely disseminated at that point. And I put that video out, and I would love to believe that things like that do inspire other people to show up later and create little acts of civil disobedience themselves. Again, it's about showing these people they don't have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do. They may be in for a challenge if they decide to go out and do things like this. You never know.
You just said this a minute ago. The same thing happened to me. I mean, same thing. Very different, but similar concept. I was jogging. I run, okay? And I run without a mask. I don't get near people or anything like that. Some woman wearing a mask on Madison Avenue cursed at me for not wearing a mask. I stopped. I turned around. I said, who are you talking to? Did you say that to me? Now, the reason I did that is I thought she needs to process that. If you want to behave like that, people are not going to let you get away with it. So count right. The cost. If you're going to curse at people on the street, by the way, you're wrong. I shouldn't wear a mask if I'm like running for an hour in the heat. Like, that's so stupid. But the fact of the matter is that if people will stand up, and Americans are famous for not doing this, we need to stand up and tell people, excuse me, no, you're not going to get away with that. And what you just said is that most Americans, they somehow think being nice is the way. And there's a time when we're called to fight.
That's right. And I think that people get very comfortable in their excuses. I hear them time and again, and I actually have to make a conscientious effort to not react because I get very angry. But, we do these events For what, this is just one example. You know, with my organization, we do these events. And like I said, you know, usually about one third of the people who sign up actually show up. And then the next day, you know, for the next week or so, I get all these emails from people like giving me all their excuses why. And I mean, it's things like they say, well, you know, we're conservatives have jobs. Oh, okay. You think that liberals don't have jobs? Give me, well, could we have children. We're taking care of our kids. Liberals have children too. We vote. It's just always a laundry list of things. And I'm like, this is BS. These are all excuses that you're using to justify the fact that you just don't want to get out and do the work that needs to be done to make sure that your country remains intact and your freedoms and your values remain intact. And once they're gone, you're not going to get them back. So it's going to be too late. There is such a thing as too late. And, you know, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic when I say the time is now. Get out and fight. Because if we lose in 2020, we're cooked. And you're going to wish you could go back and do more.
I've been saying this for a number of years. I hate the fact that it's true, but it is true. When we get off the air in a few minutes, I want to make sure I get your address. I'm in New York as well, of course, but I want to send you a copy of my book, If You Can Keep It, because I wrote it really because I began to understand how dramatic things are, that if we do not act, if we do not learn what it means to be an American, if we do not learn what it means to keep the Republic, as Franklin, who actually, he was in the room with me earlier, now it's just a wax effigy. But if we don't learn how to do that, this goes away. You said it. It is true. I so wish it weren't true. I so wish this, we were being drama queens and we're just crazy and everything's fine. Right. No, we are at that point in the culture and we need to know. So when we get off the air, I'll get your address and send you the book. But I do think that people need to step up. They need to speak out. And I say this almost every day on the program. If you care about blacks, if you believe Black Lives Matter, you must reject the term Black Lives Matter because it has been hijacked by Marxists who hate America, who hate freedom, and frankly, who are going to harm blacks. And others, if you want a virtue signal, good for you. If you actually care about blacks, you have an obligation to spread the word that this is a Marxist organization that is harming blacks. We'll be right back. Final segment with Brandon Strock. Don't go away.
Well, I'm taking my time, just moving on. You'll forget about me after I've been gone.
Folks, talking to Brandon Strock. Brandon, tell us about the March on Washington. What is that?
Yeah, you bet. So on October 3rd weekend, so October 2nd is a Friday, the 3rd is a Saturday, the 4th is a Sunday. Walkaway is treating Americans to, I think, the greatest weekend of the year. I can say that with a good amount of certainty because every other event this year. But on Friday, October 2nd, we're launching the Walkaway American Women's Town Hall in Washington, D.C. My panel for this event is going to be Laura Trump, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Diamond and Silk, Katie Hopkins, and Shamika Michelle. This isn't going to be just kind of your old boring, stodgy, you know, panel event.
What is the date?
October 2nd, Friday, October 2nd in Washington, D.C. And tickets will be going on sale for that on August 1st. So just be on the lookout for that. We'll be highly publicizing that. The very next day is the Unsilent Majority March on Washington in Washington, D.C. We do have a website for that. We want people to register, although it's a free event. Go to unsilentmarch.com. unsilentmarch.com, register. We'd love to see thousands of Americans there from all over the country. And then we'll wrap it up the next day with a brunch. We're going to have a great A-list keynote speaker there. But this women's event is going to be something really outstanding. And we're actually able to do all of these events outdoors at the Sylvan Theater in Washington, D.C. in the National Mall. This is going to be a gorgeous, beautiful, highly produced, wonderful event that's happening outside. So you don't have to worry about all the indoor restrictions and things like that. October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And the tickets for the women's event will be going on sale around August 1st. And in the meantime, you can go to unsilentmarch.com. We have hotel blocks reserved for you now. We have more information about the event, and we'll be providing more and more information as the details come together.
I love hearing this. When you say you've got an A-list speaker, I realize it's not me. I'm A-minus list at this point. But seriously, this is very exciting what you're doing. And I just find it so funny. You know, you say like, oh, I'm not a religious person. You have a keen sense, okay? And I think you understand that we're not living in a random universe, okay? There is a God who is orchestrating some things. And what is happening right now, God is using people like you, like Bevelyn Beatty, like this president, whom maybe some people would say like, I don't understand why you would use a person like that. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, it's because you will not step up. And God is going to bring people in, I have said this before, to shame those who don't have the guts, who do not have the courage. And he's going to use folks like you to inspire others. Brandon, he is doing it in spades. It's a wonderful thing. I want to encourage people to follow you. Obviously, walkawaycampaign.com. is important, but I just want to say, speaking as a Christian, I don't have any doubt that God is using you. I don't have any doubt about that, and I don't have any doubt that God is using all kinds of people around this country who don't tick off the religious theology boxes, because we serve a God of grace. That's, he doesn't operate that way, right? He understands we are all sinners and we're all struggling. And that's a whole different model than some hyper-religious people have who don't even vote. If you can believe it, they don't even vote. They seem content to sit back while everything goes to hell. And frankly, that is not God's plan. In my Bonhoeffer book, I talk about that. The church in Germany sat on their hands. They let these things happen. May it not be said of the church in America or Americans who are free that we would allow evil to take over because we don't have the guts to step up. Brandon Strock, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you. Stay on the line because I want to talk to you for a moment. Folks, I just hope you will share this video and this audio with your friends. God bless you.